Good morning, friends. He is so amazing. He is so amazing among us. We have been journeying through the story of Acts. If you've been here for the last few months, you'll know that we've been doing that. How long? How long, Steve? 6 weeks? Maybe longer. Maybe 2 months. And it's been wonderful. We have heard about the coming of the Holy Spirit, that great story of Pentecost, the promise of the Holy Spirit who comes and is poured out among us, God with us, God in us. And we've seen how the apostles, well, the disciples become apostolic as the Spirit comes upon their lives and they become mighty in God and they preach the gospel and they perform signs and wonders. And we've seen many saved and many healed and all these wonderful things. But there's also been some hard things that we've seen, some persecution and some suffering, some struggles. And then we've had the really hard story of Ananias and Sapphira and what happens if you lie to the Holy Spirit. Don't lie to the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. But what we also find with this story of revival and increase is that it's not without its challenges. And this morning, as we get to chapter 6, I want to talk about some of the challenges that increase that the Holy Spirit brings in our lives and in our community and how that can cause challenges. And we need the wisdom of God to overcome those things. So grab your Bibles. We're going to read from chapter 6. And will you stand as we're going to read the word of God, his word. We honor the word of God. Lord, I thank you for your presence this morning. You are already here. I don't need to ask you to come because you're already here with us and I thank you. But Lord, I do ask for more. I do ask for a greater measure of your anointing on our lives. I do ask, Holy Spirit, that you would move in power amongst this people, that you would increase. I thank you for your healing. I thank you for your salvation. But I ask, Lord, for more salvation and I ask for more healing. I ask, Lord, that you would move among us even while I speak the simple things of your word. That, Lord, you would come with your fresh anointing of power. Lord, that you would be fully manifest in our lives. That, Lord, we would see you in greater measure of this in the simple things of our lives. And we would also step into the greater works that you've called us to. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Says this. Now, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because the widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, who we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, and Philip and Prochorus and Nicanor and Timon and Parmenas and Nicholas, very hard names, some of them, a proselyte from Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Amen. Amen. Will you take a seat? This is the wonderful story of the challenges we can sometimes face. When there's increase, when there's a revival, what we find in this story is that there's some women amongst the women. There were the Hebrew women and there were the Greek women and different languages, and the Greek-speaking widows were not getting fed. And the solution to the problem is to choose some people to overcome what is happening here, to choose the right men for the job. And when they choose the right men to do the job, men who are full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, full of faith, this issue of feeding the poor is overcome. You know, you might be here this morning and you might think, you know, I'd love to be chosen for something. I'd love to be chosen for something in the church. I'd love to be chosen for something in my work. And you know, this story gives us some encouragement. It really does. I mean, I know that the scriptures teach us that we are all chosen, right? We are royal. We are a priesthood. We know that from 1 Peter 2, that we're a chosen, precious possession of the Lord, chosen for special purposes. But we, within that, we want to know, what are you choosing me especially for, Lord? And here we see that these men, these simple, everyday, ordinary men, are chosen for a very simple, everyday, ordinary problem of distributing food. And as they serve the Lord in this simple task, the Lord does a miracle. The Lord comes upon what they're doing and this problem is solved. And then they go on to do greater works. You know, we often say, don't we, that the scriptures teach that Jesus himself said, you will do greater works. But most of us don't feel like we're doing greater works every single day. I mean, maybe you're different to me. But you know, I'm doing the washing and the ironing and the jobs and the tasks, and I'm going about my everyday life, and there are problems and things that I have to overcome in my everyday life. And every now and then I feel like I get to do a greater work, like preach the gospel or heal a sick person. But most of the time we're going through our daily life doing normal everyday stuff, and we don't think that's the greater work. But you see, in this story, the beautiful thing is that as they do the simple, ordinary, everyday, the less great works, they start to see the miracles of God, because this thing is overcome. And then in the next breath, as you read on in the chapter, which we'll be doing next week as we look at the life of Stephen, you see that they begin to do the greater works, but they started with the lesser works, with the anointing of the Spirit on the less great work of serving and feeding the poor. I'm not saying that's not a great work, but it's the way we sometimes think. And as the anointing of the Spirit comes upon these men in these simple, ordinary, everyday tasks, we find that the two kind of forerunners in the story, Stephen and Philip, will go on to do greater things. That Stephen will become a man who does signs and wonders and miracles. That Philip will become a wild evangelist who preaches the gospel to an Ethiopian eunuch and then gets transported somewhere else. That's crazy, hey? Greater works. But they start with this simple thing of serving and waiting on the tables, and they are chosen to do this work by the apostles. And why were they chosen? Why were the apostles looking for these specific characteristics? Well, they were partnering with the Holy Spirit in what God sees, what God is looking for. Who is God looking to choose to do the simple task to come upon them and make those simple, everyday, ordinary, extraordinary in God? Who is God looking for? You know, God doesn't always look for the things that we look for in people. That's the lesson in this passage. They're looking for men of reputation. They're looking for men of faith. They're looking for men who are full of the Spirit and full of wisdom. You know, it reminds me a little bit of the story of David. You know the story of David, the shepherd boy who becomes king? We read about it in 1 Samuel. Well, it's all of Samuel and then into Kings, the story of David. But at the beginning of the story of David, you may remember that Samuel goes to choose the king and looks for the anointed, or the one that the Lord will anoint, amongst these brothers, the sons of Jesse. And as he looks at them, he kind of initially thinks, oh, it could be this one or that one. And God says to him, man doesn't look at the outward appearance, he looks at the heart. And they didn't expect God to choose the boy who was out with the sheep in the field. They didn't expect God to choose that one. But he chose the one who was being faithful, serving out in the field, day in, day out, who had been courageous and faithful. He chose that one. And we see something similar in this story. If you're looking to be chosen by God for something, if you're looking to choose someone for a special task. You could look for some of these things that God is looking for that are the outward working of a heart that is in love with God. And these are the characteristics of this story, and I just want to touch on some of these characteristics this morning because I think it's a real encouragement to us. You know, the first thing is that they were looking for men of good reputation. That's interesting, isn't it? What does that mean? A man of good reputation. Obviously, we translate this and think men and women, but here it was men. They were looking for men of good reputation. What does it mean to be a man of good reputation? What is God looking for? Well, I think there's something of skill and ability in what was being looked for here. You know, many, many times in church, we have these challenges, these issues that come up, you know, where we need somebody to overcome a problem. And this particular issue was a situation of complaining. People were complaining in church. Would anybody ever complain in church? Have you ever heard anybody complain in church? Sometimes people complain in church, especially when there's growth and increase, especially when there's lots of stuff happening and people get missed out and things don't run as smoothly and it all feels a bit chaotic because there's increase. And this was the scenario here. You know, it probably isn't that the Greek-speaking women were being missed out, kind of pushed to the side. It's more likely that this was an issue of language and cultural barriers. And I understand that because, you know, Steve and I, we go to Colombia quite a lot. And this church that we visit in Colombia, they're in revival. This city, Bogota, is in revival. And there are thousands and thousands of people and they're all Spanish-speaking. And we do not speak a word of Spanish. And everything happens really fast and it's like a rugby scrum and we don't know what we're doing. But that we have some people assigned to us and they tell us what to do next. If we didn't have them next to us, we would miss out on everything. But in this story, there's some women who are missing out and it's language and it's cultural. And so they're looking for people with skill and ability to actually overcome this problem. Probably they understood the culture, they understood the language, and they had some skill and ability to sort out this problem. You know, if you're looking to be chosen in your workplace or in your sphere of influence, skill and ability is part of what gives us a good reputation. Can we get the job done? Are we reliable? These are the kind of things that the apostles were looking for. And I understand this. I've seen it hundreds and hundreds of times in our church setting. We see it outside of the church, but in our church setting, problems arise, things arise, and we need men who can overcome and be the solution. If you have a car, you know that sometimes it gets a little bit hard to park. If you have a car in this service, you know that sometimes it's busy out there. Sometimes it gets crowded and people are queuing down the street. And you know what's amazing is that Tim and the team have sought out godly men and women of good reputation, meaning people who can sort stuff out, to go out there and think up new strategies and solutions to help you guys park. And I know that because in the last 6 months, I've seen all sorts of things change. Like there's cones now. There's like a big long thing of, it's like a thing of cones to help you park. And I'm like, that's a strategy. Someone came up with that strategy. You know, it's skill and ability to cope with the increase. That's the kind of stuff they were looking for. They were looking for men who could do the job. And then they were looking for men of godly character. I found this lovely proverb about godly character. It says this, Proverbs 3 is a wonderful proverb in all. It's one of my favourite proverbs. They're all good, but I love Proverbs 3. But in Proverbs 3:3, it says this. It says, let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so find favour and high esteem in the sight of God and man. That's reputation, right? And it's talking about godly character. It's talking about holiness that's in us through the indwelling presence of the Spirit, the holiness of God being outward worked in our lives so that other people experience that holiness through our lives. Good reputation, godly character is about how do people around us experience us. And this proverb is saying that when the Lord has come into your life, in the deepest part of who you are, into your heart, it becomes overflowing like a garland round your neck. It's visible. People can see it and they experience it of you. Godly character. And they were looking for men who had this sort of character, people who were loving, who were good, and people who were talked about that way. And you know, it's easy for us, isn't it, to display godly character when people are looking, important people are looking, like our boss or, you know, your parents or the pastor. You're like, we know how to do all the right things when they're standing next to us. But what about the secret place? What do people say about us behind the scenes? Our spouses, our loved ones, our work colleagues, the people maybe who are hierarchically in places and spheres of authority beneath us, how do they experience us? And they were looking for men who had this godly character that was talked about. I know them, they're good people. That's the first thing, reputation. The second thing, they were looking for men of faith. Now it's Stephen who especially gets called out as the man of faith. He's the one who is full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. He's kind of like one of the lead deacons in this story along with Philip, but we go on to see Stephen do great things in the rest of this chapter and the next chapter, but it says Stephen was the one who was full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be full of faith? To be full of faith is somebody who makes decisions and choices and plans based on the Word of God, whose mind is so renewed by the Word of God, that's where the plan comes from. It's someone who is influenced by the Word of God and the presence of Holy Spirit in our lives, directing our steps over the circumstance we see. It's somebody who can receive a blueprint from heaven. You know, in Hebrews 11, in that beautiful text about the great hall of faith, it writes about all of the different people of the Old Testament who were men and women of faith. And it's Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and all the great patriarchs, all the ones who could see beyond their current situation to make a plan for what God said was coming. To see beyond the now to what God said could happen. To see the impossible things of God and start the journey towards them. And Noah's the one, that great story of Noah, where that sort of image of building an ark before it's rained. He starts building the ark before it's even rained. It's this kind of faith that they were looking for to do this simple task. This everyday, ordinary task of feeding the women, they were looking for men of faith. You know, faith is the opposite of Eeyore. Does anybody here know Eeyore? No? No one knows Eeyore? Sad little Eeyore, the donkey who's always got a glass half empty. You know, he's like, I wish it could be sunny today. But it never is. He's like, I'd love to be happy, but I never am. I'd love to say yes, but I can't. He's just a grumpy old soul, isn't he? No one wants Eeyore on their team. The man of faith changes everything, but so does Eeyore. Eeyore doesn't get chosen. People of faith get chosen. People of faith are, I can do this, we can do this. People of faith look at defeat and see victory. People of faith look at impossible things and say, I know an impossible God and he's filled me with his presence. And so we can do this. There is a way where there is no way. There is a song about that, I think. People of faith. You know, I don't know how they sorted this issue out. I really don't. But I've seen scenarios like this all the time. I mean, it says they did sort it out and there was multiplication and the word of God spread as a result of them doing this simple task. I don't know how they sorted it out. Maybe they had strategy and sourced more food. I know we sometimes do that here with our food bank. They ring up Morrison's and they ring up Asda and they say, we need more food. Somebody had a plan. Maybe they made the food, maybe they redistributed it and did the whole thing better. Maybe they made that sort of plan. Or maybe they did a miracle, like the feeding of the 5,000. That could happen. I know it sometimes happens here when we have student lunch and our baker, Ola, who always often is cooking the food, I've had so many conversations with her where she said, well, I thought I was going to get 50 or 70 and I got 120 and God multiplied the food. We need people of faith. People just like that in the church and in the marketplace can do. They're the ones that get chosen. And then last but not least, men who were full of the Holy Spirit and of his wisdom. The Holy Spirit, our precious Holy Spirit, is the Spirit who comes upon our lives with the wisdom of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and of wisdom. He makes the Word of God come alive in our everyday lives in such a way that we can make a plan. You know, in revival, we are filled with the Spirit, but he isn't just to see salvation. He isn't only to see healing. Those things are wonderful. He is for wisdom and strategy in our everyday lives. He wants to give us the blueprints of heaven. And they were full of the Spirit. What does that mean? What were they looking for? You know, Holy Spirit, he gives us gifts, we know that, don't we? That's 1 Corinthians 12 and that list of gifting, non-exhaustive, there are more. I don't have time to read it now, but the gifts of prophecy and healing and generosity and of faith, all the gifting of the Holy Spirit, he gives us gifting. He pours out gifting in our lives. And he also pours out character, you know, Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, and patience, and kindness, and forbearance, gifting, and character, wisdom, and truth. How did they know they were full of the Spirit? Because they had both. They didn't just have gifting without character. They didn't just have good character and no gifting. Holy Spirit in our lives manifests both. He brings both. And these are the things that get stuff done. These are the things that give us the blueprint of heaven. And he is not a power for us to use. He is a person who we are to know. And you know, I think Cromer Church, I think we know this. I think we know this. I think we know his presence. I think we know we're to walk with him daily and carry his presence, his precious presence, into our everyday lives. But do you know we are to carry his power as well? You know, this passage says they were full of the Holy Spirit, and that's why they were chosen. They had it all. They were manifesting all of who he is in their lives, but they still waited and prayed, the apostles, and then they laid hands on them. Why? Because they needed a fresh anointing for the task at hand. Friends, for the challenges that we face in the workplace, for the challenges we face in our families, for the everyday ordinary task where we are serving the Lord in church and in the marketplace, do you know that it isn't that you're just full of him and walking with him. You need a fresh anointing. That's why we pray for you week in, week out. It's not just so that you can have a warm fuzzy at the front, though we want you to experience the Lord. We want you to experience and encounter him in tangible ways, but it isn't, that's not why we're doing it all the time. We want that, but we want more of him in your everyday, ordinary lives. We want you to receive an anointing of the Holy Spirit so you have his power, so you have his strategy, so you have his plans, so you have his gifts, so you have his fruit, so that you are full and overflowing. And in the everyday, ordinary things of life, you can see the extraordinary breakthroughs of heaven and get the job done. And it's those people who are chosen. Chosen in the church, chosen in the marketplace to overcome in a time of revival and in a time where society has challenges, many challenges. And you know, this thing of anointing, I'm just going to finish with this. I have my little red flag here. It's good, isn't it? Flag of England. And we took it with us to Bogotá, to the Colombian revival out there. And every single time there was an altar call, I ran up to the front with my flag like this. Steve was most pleased. I was just like this all the time, waving my flag. Why? Because there are challenges in our nation, in our land. Because there are challenges that need the fresh anointing of the Spirit. Holy Spirit fire to come upon us and to come upon our land. And I'm not proud. I was up there like this. Because we need the anointing of the Spirit. We need his presence and his power. And from him, his wisdom, his gifting, so that we can be chosen amongst men to do simple things in a mighty way. Why don't you stand? The Bible is so encouraging. Real stuff, real lives, real issues that we can face in church and in our everyday, ordinary lives, that there are problems and things that are not always easy. It's not always easy in the Christian life, but we have an incredible, mighty God who gives us strategies and plans to overcome, who will anoint our lives with increase, so that we can see the more of heaven come into every place that we serve him. Holy Spirit, we love you, we love you, we love you. Thank you, Lord, that you reveal the word of God to us. You bring us to the feet of Jesus. Jesus, we love you.